All right. Thank you, Brother Gall. What a great message and song. The Lord leads us all the way, don't he? All right. I'm going to make it real easy on you this morning. I'm going to see if everybody can find the place and start off with me. I'm going to make it real easy because I want you to go to the first verse in the Bible. Just the first verse. Amen. No, we're going to read about five of them to be exact. First five verses, the book of Genesis. And shouldn't have any trouble with you finding the place, right? Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to speak to you on a word that is intimated in the verse. It's not really in the verse. It's in verse 2 that it's intimated, I believe. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. I'm going to speak to you on when will the chaos end. Chaos is intimated in verse 2. Without form and void, God created, and then he made the pronouncement that it was without form and without void. And so Bible students through the years have coined the word chaos, I guess. I heard the story of three professional men that was arguing whose profession was the oldest. And one of them was a engineer, and he said, well, my profession's the oldest. I built something out of chaos. That's an engineer's job. Next fellow spoke up. He was an architect. He said, you can't build without a plan. So my profession is the oldest. You can't build without a blueprint. They looked at the third guy. He said, what do you think? Well, one of you said that he built out of chaos. The other one said, yeah, he drew the plan for it. I want to ask you, who, as a politician, who you think created the chaos? I agree with him. That's about the day we're in today, amen? Chaos everywhere you look. We don't have to say too much about that. We know it's there. And the sad truth is, it don't seem to be getting any better, does it? So I'm going to talk to you a little bit this morning on the subject, when will the chaos end? When will it end? You know, the word describes confusion, and the Bible tells us God's not the author of confusion. And so it's not of God. A lot of the bad stuff that's going on today is certainly not of God. We can see it everywhere. Daily newspapers. We see, as the Bible predicted, things are waxing worse and worse. It says, evil men shall wax worse and worse. And every now and then I run across somebody who says, things are getting better. And I want to say, what newspaper are you reading? You must not be watching the 6:30 news, amen. But you know, I would say this, it can end. I want to say it would end if old America woke up or revived. Yeah. If we returned to the values that made our nation great, if we repented of our sin and came back to the place that God told us was right, I believe we could see the chaos in. I really do. I could certainly see it improving much better. And the sad truth is today, we see a reluctance of folks wanting to change, wanting to repent, wanting to turn to what is right from what is wrong. If we could get back to the old values. Now, I don't have time to list them and itemize them, but if you're of any age here today, you know the values used to be a little bit different. I mean, wherever you look, I mean, we didn't kill the babies on demand. We didn't have the homosexual agenda running wild. All of this stuff that would have been condemned in the old days, we are seeing now, not only they're doing it, but they want you and I to accept what they're doing as being right. And it's not right. What is the struggle about today? All the attack on the president and everything. They're so afraid that he is going to defend what used to be some worthwhile, I believe, even Christian values. And I do thank God he's tried to keep some of those promises. He wanted to get in and drain the swamp. Anybody remember that promise? Well, the swamp was a lot more muddy than he thought it was. Got a lot of bad creatures in it I don't think even he knew about. But what is the struggle about now? That is, why are they trying to find a crime that don't exist? They fear that we want to return to the godly values of old. Now, we're seeing a lot of different attacks today. It reminds me, and this is maybe this is early enough for lunch, it won't bother you. Did you ever live in a house that was full of bugs? And I'm going to be real plain, full of roaches. Now, don't raise your hand. We know in Florida you have seen roaches if you've lived here any long time at all. But did you ever go in an old house that was full of them? And when you turned on the light, they just scattered. Well, that's what happened in Washington, D.C. Somebody started turning on the light, and they've been scattering ever since. Every way you look, they're running to hide, trying to get out of the spotlight being on them. Amen. But we see a lot of different tacks, every kind of a way, and all the stealing, all the corruption, all the lying, all the cheating, all the perverting that's been going on is contrary to what made our country great. And we are seemingly in a chaos today. And today, have you ever noticed this? If they fear being converted, as it were, back. Do you know conversion scares people? Now, I could probably have testimonies all over this building, including myself, that when you first got saved, your friends began to attack you. When you first got saved, it was like all of a sudden a wall was built up, and all of a sudden they didn't look on you the same and cut down on you and actually attacked you. They're afraid your morals was going to change. They was afraid of what was happening to you. Do you remember that? Oh, if you don't, you didn't have a... Maybe you wasn't in the crowd I was. I was working in a construction crowd. I was driving my race cars on the track. All of that business. And all my friends all of a sudden said, he's different. And all of a sudden, they're almost scared of you. And all of a sudden, they're attacking you. When I got saved, like most Christians, I couldn't quote John 3:16. But I knew something happened in here. And I knew when I went back to my old gang, I couldn't do the same things again. I want to tell you, folks, if you don't have a policeman that moves inside called the Holy Spirit that grieves your soul, if you keep trying to do the same things you did, you ought to check out and see if you really got saved. Because the Holy Spirit moves in, and he is the Holy Spirit. He will not go along with that lifestyle, and that changing of that lifestyle will bring trouble in the crowd you're in. It has always, it traditionally has, and it still will today. They fear the change in morals. Everyone that's newly saved will tell you that. You look in the Bible, you got a precedent for it. You go all the way back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you know when the angels came in, they tried to convert the angels? They want to involve the angels in their sin. Do you ever notice how the old drunk says, have a drink, buddy. It tastes so good to me, it ought to taste good to you. Do you ever notice that? Isn't it amazing how those that are in sin will try to get you in their sin, where you and I that have gotten out of it, we're a little bit slow to witness like we ought to. We ought to be careful about that, because they want to rub the bad stuff on us. We ought to be wanting to rub the good stuff on them. Amen. That ought to be our attitude toward it. If you've been really saved, it changes you. You become a new creature in Christ according to the Word of God. And you don't want to join that crowd anymore. Now, somebody says, well, I'm going to go back to witness to them. That's wonderful. But you can witness to them without sitting on the same bar stool. You can witness to them without going to the same places, talking the same way. That's not a witness to them. That's a witness against them. They need to see if you've been saved that you're different, and old things are passing away, and behold, all things are becoming new. And as I look in our government today, and I see we need a big change, and we see a royal battle going on, have you noticed the word coup showing up? Have you noticed that? Now, you know what a coup is? That's a change generally by force of the authorities, the leading government part. Even such radio speakers as Rush Limbaugh has spoken about coup. Even the president has mentioned the word. I think what Rush said and some others are saying is there is a coup going on. How is it going to turn out? I don't know. I want to see God win. I want to see his values win. I want to see it for the sake of my grandkids. But at the same time, it's going to flip one way or the other. And you and I better have the best part we can in seeing it flips the right way, if we possibly can. It's happened in other nations. Yes, it can happen to America. I've seen other nations fall. We're hearing more and more around the world against Christians. And more are we seeing the good stuff's not being reported, only the bad. I saw where a university professor this week in America came out very boldly and said, we need to kill and bury the Christians. Now that talk's gonna grow and grow. We are feared because they don't want our righteousness. They want their ungodliness, and they fear what's called a theophany. A theophany is when God rules. That's the way it was in the best times of Israel. They had a theophany. I got news for them, whether they like it or not, one is coming. It may be down the road, but it is coming when Jesus comes back, and I'll get to that in a minute. But you know, the coup, it could happen. It could happen. It happened in Egypt not too many years ago, back when President Obama was president, and they got installed a bad leader in Egypt. And the military pulled a coup. Anybody remember that? It probably wasn't on the soap operas. It was on the news. And the truth of the matter is, it shook up even some folks in Washington, because they found out, no, you're not totally in power. If the military sides, that's the winners. That's the way it was in Roman history. Did you ever read that? Somebody like Julius Caesar came back in victorious after a campaign, and next thing you know, he was the ruler. The army still has the power, folks. Now, I may go to jail for what I'm saying here right now. I'm not telling you that they are, but I'm telling you sooner or later, this thing's going to come down to more than words. It's going to come down to action. It well may happen sooner than we think. Let me move on to say, though, the old chaos could be ended if we'd return to the old values. Let me also say it could end if the church, us, would stand up. Now, the church has stood up in history a lot better than we're standing up today. There's something wrong today that the God's people want to keep quiet when the devil's people want to speak up. And in history, the church has made a difference. Check out your history. You'll find out the French Revolution happened and the guillotine worked and heads were chopped off because the church went silent and the good side quit speaking, and they had a bloody revolution. And the same thing would have happened in England. I'm talking a little history now. The same thing would have happened in England. But people like John Wesley and George Whitefield went outside the liberalized modern church and began to preach on the tombstones and in the streets. And they brought the people back to God and saved a revolution in England that happened in France. Check your history out. And I want to say that would still save America today if we could get back to the fundamental values, the Word of God, and what God says about things. We could still see our nation saved. No, if the church would stand up, it can make a difference. It can make a difference. The American Revolution in America in 1776 started in the pulpit. You read where the King of England fussed that he said the parson is in bed. He said the government in America, the parsons are in bed with the government. He was blaming the parsons, the preachers. He called them the Black Brigade because of the black robes that many of them wore. And you check it out, some of them stood in their pulpit and declared, I'm on the part of getting free from England and the revolution, and pulled off their black robes and stepped out and joined the militia. Oh, some of you look at me like I'm talking Greek. I'm not talking Greek. I'm talking a little history. Somebody said, all that's wrong with history is men don't learn from history. A lot of truth to that, folks. But if the church would stand up, it did in the American Revolution. It made a difference, and we need that again today. You see, they stood up because they believed in freedom. And all this socialism talk, you're just surrendering your freedom. all this mob that's advertising nothing but socialism, and nobody's saying how they could pay for it. I'll tell you how they're going to pay for it. They're going to rob you first. Let me say this. Government don't produce a thing. It only takes, and it can only give as it's taken from somebody else. Now, it might went over your head. You want a freebie, don't you? We all want something free. Somebody said there's no free lunch. Well, I tell you what, there's a whole bunch of stuff mixed up today. Give them all paychecks. What are they going to do with it? Buy more dope with it. Buy them another tent to sleep on the street. It's not going to lift them up. You see, what they fear and the values of America's old-fashioned godliness, which included the work ethic. Pay your own way. Earn your own way. Have some responsibility. Boy, those are strange words, aren't they? You know, they don't like for somebody like me to say what I'm saying. They had the gag rule on us until the president got in office and did something about it, thank God. How many of you remember when I walked out here one day? It was way back when my son was still here on the platform with me. I want to see if anybody's been here very long. Did you remember when I walked out here and I had a gag on? Raise your hand if you remember that. That's a few of you. And then I mumbled and I couldn't talk because I had the gag on. You remember that? And then he got up and untied me and then I could talk. Now all I was doing was trying to illustrate the fact that the government's trying to gag the preachers and they had a gag order. And when Trump got in, I don't care what else he's done. He's done some other good things, but I praise the Lord he took the gag rule off. And he's got a whole mob scared out there that some preachers might get their backbone back and say something. And they need to, amen? They need to. But you know, there's a rebellion against God that's bringing our troubles on us, folks. That's what's happening. Sin, the Bible says, is a reproach to any people. In other words, you don't get by with it. There's a payday coming. It's going to always come around. Let me say the chaos could end not only if old America woke up and the church stood up, but it would end when Jesus says, time is up. And he is one of these days. I started on the book of Revelation again in Sunday school this morning, and it's all about the Lord's coming. We hear about it all the way through the Bible. We've heard it preached, but in the book of Revelation, it shows you that he is and how he's going to do it and what's going to happen. And I believe with all my heart, time is being used up. We are moving on. Things are happening. And Jesus referred to that time when things are going to be balanced up. If you were to look over in Matthew chapter 19, you could pick it up in about verse 28. Peter was like you and I. He was asking, what am I going to get out of serving the Lord? Now, I'm paraphrasing it. But in verse 27 of Matthew 19, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? That's the question today. What are you going to give me? What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me, watch the next three words, in the regeneration. When the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now in the regeneration. Folks, you know why something has to be regenerated? It's because it's lost its life. If your battery dies, you got to regenerate it. You got to charge it again. This whole world is in need of a new charging. It's in need of a new regeneration. And Jesus said, in the regeneration, it's a fact. It's coming. And things are going to change when it comes. That's what the anti-God crowd fears today. There's a big change coming. You want to read about it in detail, you'd go over to Isaiah chapter 11, and you'd read how it's going to be different. Right now, the lion eats the ox. In Isaiah 11, it says, when his kingdom comes, they'll lie down, they'll feed on straw. The lion will feed on straw like the ox. It says, the lamb and the lion will lay down together. Somebody wrote a song, Peace in the Valley. There won't be peace in the valley until the peace king, the peacemaker, the Lord Jesus returns, the king. Amen. In the regeneration, he's coming. Things are going to change. Now, back here in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, it was chaos. It was without form. It was void. And then the Lord came on the scene and he said, let there be light. Oh, what a change. when he comes back, oh, what a change. Boy, what a change it's going to be then. I'll give you something real fast. If you look, well, don't look, just listen to it. In Genesis, you got Genesis 1, you got 31 verses. If you'll notice the first verse, God made the heaven and the earth. And then every verse after that starts with one word, A-N-D, and. God created, and then he keeps adding good things. And every verse starts with and, except verse 27, it starts with the word so, which means it's tied into the last verse. But all the way through all 31 verses, and God did this and that and that. And then he gets down to verse 31, the last verse of the chapter, and he says this. He looked at it and said, it was all good. With God, it's all good. I want to say to you, get saved, get born again, live for Jesus, and let him add, and let him add, and let him guide, and let him direct your steps. And one day, you may be old as me or some other age, and you may have been through the struggle of life, but you'll look back and you'll say, and it was all good. It's all good. God is good. He's good all the time. He'll be good all the way through your life if you let him direct your steps. Oh, you'll have the struggle of life. Everybody does. The difference is God will be with you in the struggle. He'll guide you in the struggle. And he'll add the good things. He says in verse 31, it's very good. So it is with one converted. You change directions. You change your path. You change the one that you're letting guide you. And you start walking in the light. As he is in the light. The Bible admonishes us to walk in the light. You know, the truth is, you'll be a better man if you get saved and walk with the Lord. You'll be a better woman. You'll be a better mom or dad if you just let God shine his light and you walk in it. You follow him. It'll bring victory out of a chaotic world. The Bible said, Jesus said, that in the world, you shall, didn't say maybe, says in the world, you shall have what? Tribulation. But then he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. If you know Jesus, you know the overcomer. You can be an overcomer in him. You can overcome the world. I don't know the bad things that may be happening, but Jesus can make a new creature out of you. He can make a different outlook. He can clear your mind of the much of the junk and garbage of this world. And he wants to do that. He wants to be your light. He wants to lead you. We have a lot of missionaries we support here. And we've heard them from this very pulpit. Oh, I love the stories when the missionary gets up and tells the difference the gospel made when it was brought into that village, when it was brought into that land. What a difference it makes. What a difference it made in my life. What a difference it'll make in yours. If you let the Lord take control. I can tell you missionary stories where I think about Brother Neese that we supported for so many years. He was an old man. He kept going back, even though his family and others said, you can't, your health won't let you go out anymore. He kept going back to his early 90s. I'm talking about in the jungle. I'm talking about where the conveniences were not there. I'm talking about some rough living, but he kept going back. And he'd tell the story how one village after another would be changed. How they'd quit killing each other. I think of one story he told where everybody has in their heart they want to live forever. Everybody has in their heart they know there's a God, but they don't know him. And the missionary tells them who the real God is. And Brother Neese said he went into that village and he found out they all wanted eternal life. And they thought the only way they could get it was take the bones of their dead parents and ancestors and crush them and mix them with water until he said it would look something like a grimy milkshake. And to get eternal life, they had to drink it. He said when he was able to get the gospel to them and tell them how Jesus loved them and paid for their sins and how they could go to heaven by having him as their Savior, he said one of the things they'd say, you mean we no more have to drink this crushed up bone? They hated it too. He said it changed the whole village. They quit doing that gross stuff. Story after story comes from the mission field that way because Jesus makes a difference. But he makes a difference in America too. He makes a difference in this town. He'll make the difference in your life if you give him a chance. Have you? Have you heard the gospel story? How Jesus loved you and died for you? Have you ever accepted him as your Savior? Have you ever thanked him and received him because he died for your sins and paid for every dirty thought you ever had, every evil word you ever spoke? That's who Jesus is. And he offers you eternal life as a gift because he paid the price of that gift. This morning we'll sing a song. We'll invite you to leave that seat, come down the aisle or out in radio land. Bow your head and say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I do know I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin. I turn to you. I believe on you. I accept you. And from right now on, I'll trust what you did for me, not trying to earn my own way." Would you do that? Hey, that's too simple. Oh, I'm so glad he made it simple. Simple enough a child can understand. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I come into a church with my sleeves rolled up, sitting on the back row, and I've often joked, if it had been a further row back, I'd have got on it. Then I heard the best news I ever heard in my life. Jesus loved me while I was yet a sinner and died for my sins on the cross of Calvary. Oh, that night I received him many, many years ago. What a difference he made. What a difference he made. He took the chaos out of my life. He'll take it out of yours this morning if you let him. Would you do it? I pray you would. Let's bow our heads. With our heads bowed, how many of you can say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I remember when I received Jesus. Thank God he's my Savior." Can you say that by the uplifted hand this morning all over the building? I ask you to put them down, and I want to ask you if you couldn't lift your hand. Why wouldn't you want him as your Savior? You can't make it by your own. You can't be good enough. You can't join enough churches. But you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ and have eternal life as a gift that he bought and paid for. I'm glad he said, "Whosoever will may come." He didn't say one name or another. He said, "Whosoever." That's your name. It was my name one time when I realized it. It's your time right now to realize he's asking you to come and let him be your Savior, and write your name on the roll in heaven. He'll do that. Will you do it? Let's stand with our heads bowed. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we don't know everybody here. We know many have received Christ just like I did. We know they could give testimony. They believed on him. They know that he saved their soul. But Father, there's probably some here and some in radio land that's never received Christ. Father, I pray for them now. I can't do anything else. I can't walk the aisle for them. I can't confess Christ for them. I confessed him one night for my own. I pray they will this morning. Commit the invitation to you. Pray not one would leave the building unsaved today. Father, the world is in chaos. But Father, you are the light of the world. And Father, just like you in the creation said, "Let there be light," and there was. You can not only give light in government and light in the nations, you can give personal light to that individual that will come and receive Christ. I pray they would this morning. May you have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. Would you step out and meet me here to receive Christ? As others come, will you come? Come on as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
Will you come? Will you come?
Thou bidst me come to thee. Of God I come. I come. Just
will you come as we sing?
And waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, these blood can cleanse each fatal lamb.
Let's bow our heads a moment. The music will continue. The invitation's still open. You can come, whatever God's asked you to do. It might be to move a church membership. It might be you've been saved and never baptized, and you ought to present yourself for that. It might be you just been falling afar off, and you need to say, just, Lord, I want to rededicate my life and come back. Forgive me for straying. I don't know. Most important, is He your Savior? Have you come? We'll sing another verse. Invitation still open for you to come.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in Thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
You know, we sang that song so easy. Oh, Lord, I come. And how many folks have stood in the church and sang verse after verse and never come, never come. That's a sad thing, folks. You can come just as a lot easier than you sang the song. He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. You could come. I'm going to ask Brother Burt to lead us in another verse.
Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I call.
Some have come this morning, and it's kind of extended the invitation a little bit. Might be God's grace to you to get you to come. I suspect, I hate to say it, but I suspect in hell there's going to be so many people that'll say, I was so close. One more verse, but I didn't come. My young ministry many years ago, country church I pastored for a little while before I came here, 3 years to be exact. We saw some folks saved and saw some that come awful close to being saved but didn't get saved. And I remember a man told me one night after church service, he said, you had a short invitation tonight. I believe if you'd have sung another verse, I would have come. And that convicted my soul. So I've probably, through the years, always added another verse, added another verse, because I just hate to face God and hear an accusation that if you just one more verse. Now, God's not under any obligation to give you a bunch of verses. In America, we ought to be ashamed. The gospel is so often heard, and so many folks hear it all their life. Never get saved. God's not under any obligation to beg you. We're sending missionaries to places that's never heard one time. So when you hear, don't just assume I'm going to keep on hearing and hearing. One day God may say, I'm letting you cross the line. I'm not give you another chance. Wouldn't that be sad? It could be. It could be. As we give a little time for these that have come, I want to ask Brother Bert to sing that one more verse. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not, rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I call. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Okay, we're going to let you be seated a moment and share with you here. We have a couple that have come for baptism this morning. We've already sent them around there to get dressed, and we'll have the vote on them as we are able to here. Okay, I'm going to just ask these to stand up here with me. Anna Grubbo, did I say that right, Anna? Okay, you can come up here with her, Charlene. She comes accepting Christ as Savior, and I'll give time for him to talk with her more about baptism. Just ask her to stand here now. We have Brother Andy Mezzasmith moving his membership back with us. Andy, stand up here with us. Where are you at? Okay. And, of course, he's been in our college and a membership with us in the past. We're glad to have him back. Then we have Noah, if I'm saying this right, Noah Fulcomer. Who is that? All right. Hold on there. Then we'll get that. And then also, Heaven Fulcomer. Did I say that right? All right, good. She's up there for baptism too? All right, good. Let's have a motion real quick to vote on them for show of hands for baptism. All right. And then we have... I'm going to mess up these names. Sister Carranza, can you help me? Bring the lady up here and help me with the name. She's moving her membership with us, been a member of Baptist Church and baptized. I'm going to let you say your name for me.
Shebna.
That's what I was going to say. We're glad to have her also. All right. And then... Stephen and Cynthia Convenon. Say that for me again. All right, stand up here with us, folks. We're glad to have y'all. They're moving their membership in with us also. All right, we have a motion to receive all these that I've stated, and I believe I read all the cards here. Well, that's good. Okay, well, let you folks be seated back on the front row here. And when the baptism is over, we'll call you back up and let folks come shake hands with you. Just go ahead and be seated right here. Are they in there yet? Better lead us in something then.
All right, 376. 376 this morning, one day when heaven was filled with his praises. Help me out, my throat's about gone this morning. You sing it out, 376 together. One day when heaven was filled with his praise, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt
Because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Okay, generally it's the woman that's slower than the man, but we got somebody else here. I didn't read the card, I guess. Maria Bell, where? Oh yeah, come on up. Brother Perkins helped me right here. This brother came and accepted Christ as his Savior a little bit at the end of the invitation here. So we'll talk with him, but also have him as a candidate for baptism by the show of hands approved. Okay. All right, let's stand. All right, all you folks, I want you to stand back here. Some of you joined the church and others. Some of you workers, help them get them right back in front. Some of them got saved here. And then I want the personal workers to follow up on those that need to be talked to about baptism. We'll give the church family a chance to come by and shake hands and welcome you into our fellowship. All right? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for those saved. Thank you for those moving membership with us. We thank you for those baptized this morning. Ask your blessing on their lives. We pray, Father, they would trust Christ not only as their Savior, but for their guide to lead them through life. May you add your blessings to them now. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.